call kula techora min akatsa lakatsa. What one rav is asking the other rav is vimata, what the other rav is vimata is vimusupik. Therefore, in the Mahalach that I will be giving a shiurim based on the Masorah that I have from my Rebbeim, basically to older Rabbanim which have a Masorah from generations before, at least two generations before, Rav Yaakov Bloy and Rav Isaac Kano. Therefore, if there's anything that someone learned differently or thinks that they might have heard differently and they want to clarify, we could clarify it afterwards. Just if it's different or we misunderstood each other. And somewhat I feel comfortable speaking to the crowd here since we got to know each other. Sometimes I don't know who I'm talking to and therefore I know what trouble I'm getting into. But I think basically we know each other. We're going to focus, like we said, Baker on Hilchos Nidah. If we have time, we'll go into other inyanim then negate to it. So in the Torah, the Parsha of Nid is written in two places, in Parshas Tazria and Parshas Achrei Mois. Parshas Tazria is dealing with the Dinei Tum of the Torah, which unfortunately is not negated to us Bizmanenu. But the Parshas Achrei Mois is counting it as one of the Surei Bia of the era. And that's what's more negated to us, the Issa of Lesikrev, El Isha, not to be Megala Erva of an Isha that's in Nida. Now, when we're talking about Nida, what are we referring to? So let's just give a little background over here. The Dam Nida is the Dam that comes from the Mekar. The Mekar is the uterus. In Chazal, we find different Lashonis for the uterus. Either it's the Kever, the Aim, the Rechem, or the Mekar. Mekar is the uterus. Now, the walls of the uterus, in the walls of the uterus there's a layer of blood vessels, which the purpose of these blood vessels is there for if she will become pregnant, she is pregnant, so the egg gets buried in the wall of the uterus, and then the blood gives off nutrients to this egg and to the vlad that's in the uterus. And the uterus is what grows with the pregnancy. If she is not pregnant, then these blood vessels at the end of the month burst and the blood leaves the rechem and goes out through the proiza, which is the cervix. The rechem is like more or less like two pieces of skin that are coming close to each other. And by that, there's like it's really very small. You might making the picture much bigger, there's like a few centimeters of a passageway, which is the cervix, and then that leads into the base of the chitin, which is the part of the body, which is towards the outside. Shas tashmish, the eva goes into the base of the chitin. Shas bedik is, she goes into the base of the chitin. And the blood obviously leaves the rechem, the uterus, and goes through there to outside the body. At the same time, the uterus is built in a way that's very close to each other. It's almost closed. There is a little opening, but at the time when the blood leaves, it opens for the blood to leave. It is important for us to keep this in mind for later halachas. That's basically the build of the isha. Now, in order for isha to become tamei daraisa, besides seeing dam nidos, she also needs to have what's called a hargosha. She has learned that of a pasik, dam yezoiv bibsara, from within her basa, she has to have hargosha. The pasik can bring out three different hargoshes, but all these hargoshes that the pasik can bring down are really not matzoi, not common nowadays, and that is not common nowadays. Women nowadays do not have hargoshes. One in maybe 1,000 or more than that may really have hargosha. Hargosha basically means she's feeling the dam leaving the rechem. But like I said, hargosha is bizmanenu is not matzui at all. What is matzui is that she'll feel a wetness, a dampness, towards the bottom part of her body. Usually it already left the body when she's feeling the wetness, and that's bevadei not a hargosha according to anyone. What is a question of the Pesukim is she would feel a trickling within her body, but that's also not matzoi. Therefore, we're not going to shtel on hargoshes right now. So how does a isha become tamei halacha lemaisa? Chazal will metame her even if there is no hargosha. Anytime she sees dam nidus, they'll metame her. Obviously, when she gets her period, and it comes and starts to flow like the way it flows at the time when she's having her period, then she is tamei. In our limit over here again, for us, when we use the word tamei, we don't mean that she's tamei in Hilchas Tuma that's brought down in Parshat Tezriya. We mean she's asa labayla. That's what's negeta. So she becomes asa to her husband when she gets her period. Sometimes it's difficult to know at what point it's considered she got her period, because it could start off with a little staining. By certain women, many times there's little staining as it leads up to the flow. So at what point are we going to call it the flow? In all these cases, a person should speak to a rav to decide when, at what point it's considered. Basically, if she's starting to see stains, which are going to be the size of 3 fingers, you take it 3 middle fingers, this whole area, if she's starting to see a stain or two like that size, that can be considered that the flow already started. However, by other women where it could be they're seeing only 1 or 2, but often the period may be considered a flow even before she starts seeing big stains. So like I said, this has to be dealt with a rov. The second way for her to become asa is if she's doing a bedika, obviously at the times when she's supposed to do a bedika, which we'll discuss in later shiurim, when are those times that she should be doing bedika, because otherwise there's no reason why she should be doing a bedika, and she finds on the bedika dam, whether it's the size of, it doesn't make a difference what size it is, even if it's a tiny drop, a small little dot of dam, she'll be asa. A lot of times it's worthwhile showing it to a rav, because what you may think is dam may not be dam, may not be the right color, as we'll discuss, or maybe dirt or something like that. So unless it's clear that it's dam, it's worthwhile asking. The third way for it to become asa is what's called a kesem, ksamim. The word kesem means a stain. She finds a stain on her clothing or on anything. And obviously we're talking about she's finding this stain of blood without any hargasha. So we're working within the world of the Drabbanan. The Drabbanan asked her even if there's no hargasha. However, the Drabbanan said we're only going to ask her with 3 conditions, which we're going to spell out soon. She's only asa if she finds, again, tonight, I mean, before we get to these 3 tonight, but it has to be dam that's coming from the mekar, coming from the uterus, and even if she just found it, right, that's the idea of a stain, she just happened to find it, it's in a place, she found it on her body or on clothing in a place where it's possible, where it's even only a suffix, but it's possible that it came from the mekar. Usually it means like from a little below the waist downwards, in a place where it would make sense that if there was down dripping would hit over there or on her feet. So then that's bechlal, that's included in ksamim. But if she'll find a stain above that area on her shirt, a stain of blood, which there's no reason to assume that she was pissed off, that she wasn't doing any backflips that day, so then that's not going to be b'chal k'sam. So we're talking about over here where she finds a stain of blood in a place where it's possible that it came from her mekar. Then this is included in k'sam. When are k'samim asr and when is it not asr? So for that we have 3 or 4 tanayim, depending on how you want to count it. Tanay number 1 has to be found on a dova ha-mekabel tumah. Has to be found on something which is mekabel tumah. Therefore, if she will find dam on the ground, for sure, let's say outside on the ground, or even inside the house on the floor or the walls, which are attached to the ground, anything which is attached to the ground, anything which is mechubet to the karka, is not mekabel tuma, and therefore she will not be asr. Similarly, if she finds dam on the toilet seat, or in the bathtub, on the bathtub, or even if she finds it in the water, in the toilet or in the bathtub, we're going to consider it as one thing, and that's considered, and that's and we view it as mechub lekarka, that's not mekabel tuma, and she will not be aser mitam ksam. I just want to point out, if it's going to be a big stain again, if it might be a big stain like the size of three fingers, so then we might have to judge it as a flow, and then it leaves the world of ksamim, and now it's a question of getting a period. But as long as it's smaller than three fingers, then on a dava sheni mekabel tuma will not make her asa. If she finds dam after using the bathroom when she's wiping herself, over here also, if she finds on tissue paper, on toilet paper, it will not be mitame her because it's considered dava sheni mekabel tuma. Now, a lot of times in the bathroom, women get nervous. So, of course, the Eitzah people mentioned don't look, so then you don't have to get nervous, but it doesn't always work. Also, it's good to know that the light that's in the bathroom is a lot of times incandescent, which gives off a yellowish tint, which makes Maris look redder than they really are. So, a lot of times, there's extra nerves in the bathroom which are not needed. If she would just sometimes you could point this out to her that it could look, if it's dimmer or darker in the bathroom, sometimes depends on how the lighting is, it could cause it to look redder than it really is. So she would look at it outside, she'd realize that it's not, it's really a yellowish or a lighter color. But lemaisa would be mutter. There's a question in the Pesukim about pads, if it's mekabel tuma or not. Pads, liners. I follow the psak of Rav Yitzchak, that it's not mekabel tuma. Therefore, again, on a pad or a liner, since it's not mekabel tuma, just a stain, any stain less than the size of your three fingers, will not aser. Okay, now, that's the first thing. It has to be on a dove, a mekabel tuma. So what's considered mekabel tuma? She'll find it on her clothing, and basically the material that the clothing that most women wear, the material that their clothing is made out of is mekabel tuma. There's synthetic materials which may not be mekabel tuma, but then there's a question: if you take the synthetic material and you make it into a beged, it could be then it has a shem beged and is mekabel tuma. But in general, the material that they're dealing with is mekabel tuma. Find it on a chair, a bed, a sheet. These are things that are mekabel tuma. So over there will be a question of kesam. Tonight number two is that there's a din over here in kesam that a person can make a taliyah. Taliyah means if I have and what to say, right? We found the stain. Found the stain of blood on her body or on the beged. And it's possible that it came from her, from the uterus. But it's possible that it came from somewhere else. In other words, if I know this bivade came from somewhere else, then of course we toilet in the other thing and she's mutter. But even if I don't know that bivade came from the other place, but I haven't what to say, this came from there, I could say it came from there, even though I only could say it came from there, and it's reasonable, it makes sense to say that it came from there, that's what's called a taliyah. For example, common taliyahs are women that have makas, have wounds, which is very common by a lot of women to have wounds in that area, inside, even inside, as long as it's not a wound in the rechem itself, it's in the lower part, and we know that it's there and it's could be giving off blood, will be toiling there. Sometimes a lady will say, I feel that there's something there, I don't know what, so the Rav will send her to a nurse. the nurse will check it out. If the nurse says she sees a maka over there, a peta, and she'll fill out a form and describe where it is, then the Rav will look at it and the Rav will be toiler, and he'll see if he can be toiler what she's finding in that maka or not. Sometimes it's possible for the Isha herself to be the nurse, right? Ladaf, you have to run to another nurse. If she says, I know b'vadei that there's, she could say she knows b'vadei there's a maka over there, so then we'll rely on her also. But in general, women are scared to say anything b'vadei, so I don't think you'll get that. As soon as he asks her, you know for sure? No, I'm not sure. So then, question is, if 99% answer is like 100% answer, or 90% answer by Aisha. But Akapanim, but there are other eitzes that the Rav will give to save her a trip to the nurse. Sometimes where we could figure out if there's a maka without sending her to a nurse. There are other tliyas, like hemorrhoids or UTI, urinary tract infection. These are different tliyas which is always worthwhile when you think you have a tliya to speak to a Rav, because sometimes you may think it's a good tliya and it's really not a good tliya, and it goes the other way also. Sometimes you may think it's not a good tliya and really it is a good tliya. Depends on the person, some people. So therefore it's worthwhile running it by a Rav unless you know v'vadei it's a good tliya. Sometimes you'll find dam which may be in a place which will aser, and it's worthwhile speaking to the Rav, because with the Rav, if he has, with his creativity, he may be able to figure out a tliya with you and save you from asking her. Now, within this din of tliya, we come out with another major kula, which is what's called the Shir Kegrizvoy. Tonight number two, or tonight number three, let's call it tonight number three, is that it has to be the shear of a kegrisvoy. What is the shear kegrisvoy? So it's berach in America, it's berach a penny, American penny. Or over here it's between a shekel and a 10 agrot piece. It's a little more than one shekel, but a little less than 10 agrot. It's between a shekel and 10 agrot piece. And I just want to point out, a shekel is bigger than you think it is. I'm serious, you'll see. You'll be surprised. You'll take a shekel, you'll put it against it. You'll realize that there's a lot more that could fit in it than just the way it looks. But so we have between a shekel and a 10 agrot piece. Now, if let's say she's misupik, if it's kegrisa. Now let's say she's misupik if it's the size of a kegrisa or not. So obviously that's a suffix which could be, you could be mavara by bringing it to a Rav who has experience. He'll be able to tell you if it's kegrisa or not. But let's say she lost the kesem and she's misupik whether that kesem that she lost had a kegrisa or not. She somehow it ended up in the laundry, got washed. But the cleaning lady, somehow the cleaning ladies get a hold of all these kesamim and they ended up washing it, throwing it out, or b'chulei. So over here is a question of the achronim. Halacha l'maisa, in most cases, will be mekel. But it's kedai, like I said, it's kedai to ask if it was of the kesef, and if the subi was curious or not. But in most cases, we will be mekel. Now, how do we measure the kegris? How do we measure the kegris? If there's little dots next to each other, do we view all the dots as if they're together? So this depends. If it's on a baguette, then we are not mitzarif the dots, the little dots together, even though it looks like it came out of one spritz. We look at each dot separately. On her body, if she finds it on her body, then we will be mitzarif. If she finds it on her body, so obviously she can't show her leg or to the Rav. What she should do is, she should take, if it's still wet, she should take a white tissue or paper, put it against it, so that the color will go onto the tissue or paper, and also be'erech the shape or what it is. We'll get onto the paper so the Rav can look at that. If it's dry already, so then you have to figure out Eitzah how to get it. But anyways, usually it's not Negev, because if she's finding already on herself, usually means that something's starting, and within a short amount of time, a period will start. But it could be Negev, it happens. Now let's say you have a stain which is a mixture of light yellow with red. You know that this is red, a mixture of yellow and red. So we only look at the red. We're measuring the red part of it. If in one you have one keset, there's red with yellow in the middle and red on the other side. Again, we only look at the red, and over here, if the yellow is mafsikit, if it's a complete hefsik, there's no attachment of the red to the red, halacha l'maisa, we can look at each red part separately. If she finds it on a beged and there's a seam in the middle, there's a seam, there's like a stitching over there, so that also will count as, and it's going over the stitching, it will consider the stitching as a separate mara, and we'll measure each part separately. Again, if someone has any questions in measuring it, they should feel comfortable to bring it over, and work it out. If it's in the maras of dam, so we talk about red, or anything which is noita ladmimas, something which has a tint of it's close to red, right? Or black. Black lemaisa is not so much. It's not matzai. Black is like the black of my yarmulke, which you probably will not see that, because usually it's gray. That if you're seeing something, it's usually gray or brown. But black like this, you probably will not see, and it could be it's even darker than this. It's like these Shlaima hats, when they're new, they're felt. That's what it is. That's the black that we're talking about over here. Al kapanim, even there is a question in the Paiskim if there's a Shia Kegris by black. Halacha l'maaseh, we go with the Shita, that black also has the Shia of Kegris. But at the same time, we have to stress that if a lady will find dam on an aid bedika, on the bedika cloth, over there is no shia. All these shiurim and kegris is when she happens to find a stain on her beged or on her body. But if she's finding the dam on an aid bedika, on a bedika cloth, over there is no share of kegris, even if it's a tiny drop of dam, it will answer her. Again, unless you have a tliya. There may be tliyas. By eid bedika, it's possible to have tliyas. It's possible to have tliyas. And a lot of times, if you weren't expecting to see dam, if for some reason she had to do bedika that day, and you see something red there, it's worthwhile. Or if it's during Zayin Nikim, when you're assuming that she already stopped seeing, and then there's something red there, it's worthwhile speaking to a Rav, because there could be tliyas. Even during Zayin Nikim, there could be tliyas. If a man will find dam on his avery after tashmish, or if they find dam on the bed or on the sheet after tashmish, this could be also a little more chum. This is a more chumadik shayla. Could be a safik deraisa, which in such a case, also we may not give the share of kegris void. And therefore, in those cases, even if it's less than the share of kegris void, a shaylas chacham needs to be done. You need to speak to a rav. Okay, so this, so again, we have the Tanai Mekabel Tuma, has to be on Sunday, which is Mekabel Tuma, has to be that there's no Taliyas, and it's more than a share of Kegris Va'oid. The next condition is that it has to be on a Beged Lavan. Now, has to be on something white. There is a mashmais in Rashi that the reason for this tonight is because back in the days, I've got to mention, I just wanted to mention one point, that the reason for the Shir Kagris Ba'oid, we're probably all familiar with, is because of the bed bugs that they had back in the days, that when you smash them, they will leave over a stain of blood the size of Kagris Ba'oid. And therefore, Chazal ran into a problem. That if they're gonna enforce their new takana, every lady's gonna be asked to her husband. So every morning she'll wake up and see stains of blood on her sheets. And obviously, it could be it came from her, or it could be it came from someone else, somewhere else. So therefore, they said, on that shear, we're always gonna be automatically toiled in a machoilas in this bed bug. Even nowadays that we don't have these bed bugs, we still do this tliya in the bed bug. And that's where the Sheikh Gris Vayit comes from. Now, by Begid Lavan, there's a Mashmais and Rashi, that since back in the days, there was four, you look at your set of Crayola crayons, nowadays there's even more than 101. So within red, there's so many different shades of red. The Mishnah tells us that there's only four specific shades of red which will aser. And the Gemara already tells us that many Amroim said on themselves that they're not bekiyim in what those shades of reds are. And therefore they would send different shailas to this Amor and to that Amor. And the Rosh already also says that we're even less bekiyim. Therefore we're machmar anything which is night ladvimus. But Rashi says that if you can find the kesem, the stain, on a beggar which is not white, so it already throws us off from being able to see if this is the shade of red to be mitami or not. And therefore, Rashi's mashma that Rashi would be mashma that any color which is a light color may not be included in this tonight. I mean, it's not just one. But halacha l'maisa, let's speak out of halacha l'maisa, from many other shayim and smashmen, this is why we follow, that any color which is not white is considered beged tzivua. If you go into a store and ask them for a white shirt, and any color they will show you that's darker than white, you say, this is not white, that's not white. And on that, if you find a kesem less than a kigris v'oid, if you find a kesem over there, even if it's more than a kigris v'oid, she will be mutter. Therefore, on pastel colors, she will be mutter. We suggested that during her days of Tyra, she should wear colors. She could wear whatever color she wants. She could even wear black if she feels more comfortable doing that. She'd wear dark colors. And maybe a suggestion that when it's getting close to her period, then to wear a lighter color, I mean, not white, don't put on white, but a lighter than a dark, than black or dark blue, because sometimes before the period starts, there could be just a lighter color that comes out, a lighter brand, which really she's mutter for. And we'll see there a stain on the color. We'll see a big stain, like 3 fingers worth. And we won't know if this is a brownish or a reddish. And we'll have to tell it. We'll give the call that her period came already. But if it was a lighter color, we'll be able to see that this is not 3 fingers worth of dam, even though it's holding by the time she's expecting her period. But otherwise, whatever color she wants, she could win. And she should be makbid. Aisha should be makbid. That the clothing she wears close to her guf, the underwear, and the sheets on the bed should be colored. As a suggestion, it saves questions and saves problems, either that the sheet should be colored or a person uses. Usually she's sleeping with undergarments, but I'm saying those times when she's not. If you put out a towel or a dark sheet underneath, just in case there will be dam or something similar to dam like this, you have no questions. It doesn't start. Right, there are different times also when women stain. Sometimes some women, when they're nursing, they stain. Some women, when they're taking different medicine or pills, could cause staining. Different birth control aids with the heter, so then they could cause staining. So at those times, for sure, it's not worth running into questions, and then sometimes she'll become usa because of it. When you could save all these problems. Now, once her period comes, so obviously, once her period comes, then obviously these kulas are not nageya. Now we mentioned that when the dam leaves the body, so then there's what's called when the dam leaves the body, so then there's a psichas hakever, the uterus opens to allow the dam to leave. So we have a klal that's called ein psichas hakever b'lei dam. There's a chazaka that the uterus doesn't open unless it's opening to leave, to give off dam, and it could be even for a drop of dam. So there are certain tests that the doctors may do, which go into the uterus and force open a opening in the uterus, which could be a question of this chazaka, if we have to assume that dam came out and therefore she's asur or not. In general, most bedikas that they're doing is not a problem because they don't go that far up and they don't go into the uterus either. And if they do go into the uterus, they use a very thin tool because it's painful to cause it to open. So they usually don't do it. However, if it's a test, which you can always ask the doctor where how far they went, and then based on that, ask Shaila. If you do not need to ask, you do not need to ask the doctor if he saw dam or not. If he does offer you the information, then just ask him for what he saw it on, the glove or whatever it is. Take the glove and bring it to a rav and get down the name of the test that he was doing, and based on that will be the psak. After the doctor checks her, she does not need to do a bedika. There's no chiv bedika. Okay. So that's this is the dinim of Kesama. And any questions? Okay. A good talk.